When we are constantly bombarded by information concerning what sinners we are, we can only hear just so many calamitous stories before it sets a bias in our minds. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now listen. The word workmanship is originally a Greek word, poema. It is where we get our English word for poem. Ephesians 2:10 is telling us that we are God's poetry, and if we are his poetry, it just doesn't seem right for us to call bad what God has called good. If we, who belong to Christ, are his poem, his righteous rhyme and joy, who do we think we are to re-decide what God has declared? You. Yes, you are God's poetry. He knows all your secrets, all the things you may not want anyone to ever know. Yet he still loves you and still would like very much to have a never-ending conversation with you. Yes, I realize that if you were God, you wouldn't want to talk to someone like yourself. But hey, this is your lucky day. You aren't God. He is, and he has chosen to talk to you. That is, if you have time. If you don't have time now, believe me, eventually you will have time, and the Lord will be ready. For years I was under the impression that the Lord was just barely able to contain himself toward my smaller sins, though numerous and proliferate. But he wasn't so quick to forgive concerning the larger ones. The implication was that if I didn't get my act together, God would leave me for reprobate in the desert, so to speak. And there wouldn't quite be enough of the Savior's blood which could wash me clean from sin. That is not what the Lord says. We must do something with Psalm 103:11 and 12. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. It doesn't say as far as east is from west until it suits him to go get them back to use as leverage against us. Neither can we go fishing for them to bring them back to make ourselves pay over and over, being filled with regret. That is the way the devil thinks, not the way God thinks. Your sins have been thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. But just to be clear, though, the phrase, sea of forgetfulness, is not actually in Scripture. When people mention the sea of forgetfulness, they are usually referring to several passages that talk about God's forgiveness and how, when we are justified in Christ, God forgets our sins so completely that they might as well be buried at the bottom of an ocean. The main passage that contains the idea of a sea of forgetfulness is Micah 7:19. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. Isaiah 1:18 says, God will make our scarlet sins as white as wool. What a beautiful picture. We will be as clean and white as unprinted snow. A sea of forgetfulness represents a place where our sins are sent so very far away from us they can no longer affect us. In light of that, the Lord sees you as a son, daughter, beloved, and friend. We've got to get the vision out of our heads that the Lord is some tooth-gritting, raging, galactic hurricane that can't wait to burn desperate sinners, those monsters of iniquity, to the ground. That is not God's heart. Sure, he is holy and righteous, unwavering in excellence above all the earth. But the problem isn't the way he sees us. It's in how we see ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. A man recently said that Jesus used death to defeat death and became sin for us. He got what he did not deserve, death on a cross, that we would get what we do not deserve, righteousness. If God says, by his Son we are righteous, just because we are uncomfortable with that doesn't make it any less true.